that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live. Frosty, still a little dark outside. Radio Ranch this morning, December 2nd, 2023. First Saturday of December. Time is just marching on, and but, hey, we've got a full crew for you this morning, and we'll bring everybody on. And let's see. Jason, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Josh, visiting, good morning.
Good morning.
Brother Zach, way up there in the snowy area.
Got a pretty good echo going on in here.
Oh, do you? All right. Let me turn this down a little bit. Zach, good morning.
Good morning.
And Tim, out in Nebraska. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we say good morning to you. And Jason, is that any better? Didn't have an echo. Didn't have one Wednesday, but is that any better there?
I don't know yet.
Okay. All right.
Try it.
Well, how about open us up in prayer?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning, Father, in the direction that we're to go. We pray, Father, that you be with the remnant across this land. You know who they are. You know the number of hairs on their head, Father. And we lift them up to you and just ask, Father, that you tend to their each and every need, Father. We know that there's a lot of people that are in a lot of different situations across this land. And, Lord, we know that there's people that are in need of healing. There's people that are in need of jobs. There's people that are in need of healing marriages, and Lord, we lift them up to you, Father, and we ask that you do a mighty work there in their lives, Father, that you be with the remnant, that you tend to their needs. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Yeah, we still got a pretty good echo going on.
Well, don't know where that came from.
Seems like it's mainly on Zach's line now.
Might be, I don't know. I mean, everybody's on the bridge, so.
I can't hear an echo on anybody except for myself. It's gone now.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, a couple things that I noticed in the headlines. Got a Malibu, California, was in the news this morning. Showed a boatload of illegals pulling up and jumping out and scooting all through Malibu, where the Hollywood elite live. And just thought that was pretty interesting that it's not just way down south. It's not just in Texas. And so I thought it'd be interesting to see the next day or two what the what the response is to the illegals coming up on shore there. And I don't know if you saw this week, but in New York, other side of the country, had a report of a veteran, this 94-year-old veteran, getting kicked out of a nursing home, Frank Tomorrow, in so that they could make room for immigrants, for illegal aliens to come in. And the thought occurred, you know, that the alien among you goes higher and higher, and you go lower and lower. And we're just certainly seeing that all over the country. Thoughts?
Well, personally, I think there's still an echo there for me. Personally, I think you see all these things and you hear about all these things and, you know, like people kind of get, I think it's designed to make people angry. And, you know, what is somebody going to do about it? Well, you know, you don't really, like these illegal immigrants and stuff like that, you don't have to hire them. You don't have to, you don't really have to do anything with them at all. Like, you know, there's a lot of immigrants where I'm from, they're, you know, Latinos and stuff like that. And some of them I know, some of them I know very well. And some of them, I don't know what I wouldn't agree to do with, you know, as far as like in the workforce, because of the history that we share together. And, you know, they're pretty good dudes and this and that, but, you know, either way, but you don't, we, people don't have to hire them. They don't have to, you know, make any, they don't have to pave a way for them for any type of employment. You know, they can kind of, you know, stick to like the legal way, like legal immigrants. They can stick to, you know, hiring people that are from their communities and stuff like that. But then the other part of that problem is, you know, our society, and I'm talking about the white culture, they, in like my generation, the millennial generation, this generation that's coming up now, they, their parents have done a really bad job of training them of how to, you know, actually provide for themselves, how to actually work. So, you know, like when you read the Old Testament and when Israel got kicked out by the Assyrian captivity, there was a backfill of people that filled that void of land and they took over. So, you know, like anything that you see going on, you hear a story like, well, some 94-year veteran got kicked out of a nursing home. You know, I guess it's, I'm sorry, but the problem is a little bit different. Like, our culture and our mindset is completely out of line to ensure the future of the country. Like, we have to train our children to be able to forge forward and to be able to take this responsibility that we've handed them to be able to continue this dream and this legacy and this system that God has given us. And no matter which way you cut it, it is because of sin in the land, people not paying attention to the system that God put over top of us, which was a godly system at one time. And not holding true to those values and working hard and taking responsibility for their own actions, this is why you hear stuff like this. This, you know, I mean, it's all, I mean, it's all just stuff to get you mad and angry. Well, like, what am I going to do personally? Well, you know what? I'm going to train my kids to go out there and to be savages and to, like, learn and to be competitive, not compete, to dominate their sectors in the world, in whatever their, whatever God has them do, whatever it may be. That's my job. And it's literally a lack of training in our culture over the last 35, 40 years that has gotten us to this point. So until we look ourselves right in the mirror and like, okay, this is where the blame lies. You know, you're going to continue to hear stuff like that. You're going to continue to hear things that upset you. You're going to continue to be in the victim mentality. You know, I mean, you know, like, you know, grow some stones, you know, make some stuff happen for yourself. And when that happens, people will gravitate towards you and they will jump on board with you. And they long for somebody to take the bull by the horns and freaking march on. They will follow and they will like, they, like their loyalty will just, they'll hand you their loyalty if you're the right type of dude. And if you, you know, and like, so we hear these things, it's all self-inflicted. I'm sorry I rambled.
Zach, we've got to have the illegals because somebody's got to do the work. I mean, you know, that's what you keep hearing, but it is because we a bunch of, for the most part, fat, lazy, some guns that won't do what we're supposed to be doing.
You know, I was out on the ranch, and I don't think between the three of us, and I'm talking about the guys that are, like, they have young boys, I don't think our boys are going to have that problem. They understand, like, if you want to do something, you gotta make it happen, you know? And I get you're sarcastic about it, but, you know, there are men out there that are actually training their kids. You know, we don't need them. But, you know, you hear things, and you just, it just seems people lose heart, you know, as a society as a whole. You know, they just lose heart, and it don't take a lot to get them to lose heart.
But when we, you know, there are things we can do to take the sting out of when you hear those stories like that. I mean, like with the story of the guy with the bakery in Denver, you know, that was coming under fire and all. I mean, people took up for him when they found out, and that completely took away the sting of the propaganda machine of they're doing this, they're doing that for him because folks stepped up. And that's happened time and time again. I mean, there are things that we can do. Like I said, it's not going to quit happening because they want to beat us down and have us roll over and give up.
Well, and what we're seeing here with the illegals coming in is just some more of what they call the great replacement, you know, as far as displacing. I love the way they talk about indigenous, you know, people in an area. Of course, according to them, like, you know, maybe indigenous people here are Indians, American Indians, but it's like, how long does a person have to be in? How many centuries, how many millennium does someone have to be somewhere before they're indigenous? I mean, it's more about what they do in an area than about how long they've been there. But, you know, it's as old as the Bible. I mean, you go back, you read, you know, Nehemiah, you read your Bible, and the first thing those kings did when those people were put into, when Israel was put into bondage was this: he went in and replaced them. He took them and put them in a land that they hadn't known, and then he put somebody else in that land. And that was supposed to break the back of any resistance or of any memory or of any history. And that's one of those things that our Bible talks about, is that we're not going to be moved anymore. And Pastor talked about that several years ago. This is it. There's no place to go anymore. You know, I mean, we're there. So, yeah, but they're running the same old playbook that they always run. And we see, I know there was just a article come out here not very long ago, a couple days ago, from Ireland, and it's going on in Ireland. The Irish Economic and Social Research Institute, which is supposedly one of the top think tanks in the world, according to some people, came out and said that 2023 will be the second highest year in terms of immigrant inflow on the record into Ireland. They're being the indigenous people or native people in Ireland are being replaced with, you know, non-Irish people from other parts of the world. And we're seeing that go on, you know, all over the place. They just want to push people out. And it's like, I'm not going to be pushed around anymore, you know. So there's the pot is boiling, the pressure is up, and I think that I think it just goes a lot deeper than, you know, we have this human resources departments all over the place. They treat people like they're disposable, but not to God. So God doesn't look at it that way. He puts us where we belong, puts us in our place, good or bad, you know. And, you know, we have a responsibility and a duty to take care of it there, or he'll make it bad enough that we do. So it's our choice and our responsibility. And I, you know, just my 2 cents worth.
And hearing you talking about that, the thing, for the most part, it's not bad enough for our people to cry out yet, even not to even look to God.
Well, and you think about just how, you know, docile people have become too. I mean, if I know in different places it'd be different, things would have different results or turn out differently. But you know, I know a lot of veterans, and if they were kicking a veteran out of a nursing home to make room for an illegal alien in some parts of the country, there'd be veterans that just wouldn't stand for it. And I mean, you know, how docile people have become too. I mean, you know, there's brainwashing. There's a reason that they put fluoride in the water. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's why that song "Try That in a Small Town" had such a impact, is because it got people thinking about that very thing. And I think you're absolutely right. That might go in New York City. I don't know if it would go in other places of the country. Sure doesn't seem like it would.
Well, and there's a lot of comments going around nowadays about peaceful and dangerous. You know, you can't be a peaceful man if you're not a dangerous man. I mean, and I agree with that in great part, but so kind of going along with what Jason was saying about the fluoride in the water, we've got a lot of people that have just been chemically castrated as far as their masculinity, and we have all these jerks out there talking about toxic masculinity and everything else, but my God hasn't drank any fluoride yet, so better watch out. I mean, it's kind of, you know, that's we're there.
Yeah, I guess if you really, I don't want to beat this to death, but you really look at it, you know, we're truthfully not supposed to look to the government to take care of us in our old age. You know, back to that system you was referring to. So is
that's
even
true, and there is a terrible amount of that in across the board. I'm going to say it that way. You know, people kind of, that's like a default thing. You know, it's not, well, I don't know what I'm going to do about, what's God going to do about that? No, it's the default thing is, well, the government should do something about that. You know, they should pass a rule, or they ought to. It's like, here's the thought. Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you pray about it? Why don't you, you know, stir yourself up and God will, you know, activate God. I mean, God says if we ask, he answers. So obviously the way that we activate God whenever we have a problem like that is to, you know, but you see people casting around for for answers, and they just kind of, their default thing is, well, you know, the government should do something about that, or if we elect them, they'll take care of that, or something. It's like, does it ever change? No. There's just more new problems, maybe different ones, maybe the same ones that were recycled or something. So if we want to change, then we need to change our thought processes and our response, which goes back to what you were saying, Josh, about crying out, you know. I mean, it's the, but that should be our first default. And a lot of people just don't get it yet, but it's coming.
And one good thing.
Basically, it's a conversation of we're upset because the government took their welfare from somebody that we thought should have the welfare more and gave it to somebody else that shouldn't have the welfare as much.
Yeah. It's like, well, they're giving all this money to the illegal aliens, you know, and look at all the people that we have here in our country who could use that money. They shouldn't be giving it to anybody. It's like, no, you guys, the whole premise is messed up. It shouldn't exist, period. You know, that's the way that works. So there's a different answer. And so often we talk about this here, but, you know, they present you with the person who's causing the problem is presenting you with two answers. Well, we can do it this way, or you can just do nothing. But there's always, and I mean always, another answer or more, but there's always more answers. But somehow they limit. I can remember back when I was in school and we were young, one of the things on situational ethics, which was coming in schools that was being taught, was the question of, well, you're in a lifeboat and you're about to run out of water and food, and there's, you know, a 12-year-old child and her mother and grandmother, and who would you throw overboard? You know, you have to choose one. And I think I've brought this up before, but the point is there's another choice besides that, okay? You know, so we just have to recognize it and activate it.
Yeah, I like how you mentioned that, Tim, and what you said, Josh, the answer is there. The solution. God has given us the solution. And even in this instance, this Frank Tamaro, it says he now lives with his daughter, you know, like down in Arizona somewhere. And so, you know, for whatever reason, it worked out. You know, when you look at the grand scheme of things, because that's where it should be anyway. You know, God gives the solution if you care to look for it. But so many people don't want to do that. Just like was said, we certainly take care of our young, and we are to take care of our elderly as well, and not rely on the government, not rely on those senior centers, nursing centers. Doesn't mean they never get used by Christian people, but that's not where the reliance is to be. And
I mean, I know we're so far removed from where we should be right now that it wouldn't always make for a good situation, but in theory, who would you rather have spending time around your children than their grandparents, who are older and hopefully wiser than we are, you know, our parents, and they've got more time, and they're just in a different place in life, and that can be such a blessing to your children to be able to spend time around them whenever the family unit is moving like it's supposed to and correct, and when we are all in line with God's plan for us.
Yeah, it is a
solution. It's interesting,
solution, too,
because I was just having a conversation with my son-in-law Friday. Thursday, I'm sorry. And one of the things he said is, you know, we'll see all these broken families out there. He goes, you know, how do you fix that? And I said, well, it's just like planting crops. When the crop gets hailed out, or when when the you know, you have a super dry year and it doesn't make, there's next year you plant again and it comes up and you have a bumper crop. I said, you know, it's just one of the, you have to work at it, you have to grow it, you have to plant it at the proper time, you have to tend it, and God waters it and takes care of it. And I said, you know, at least that family unit is not gone. I mean, it's definitely under attack, but each one of us as parents and grandparents is responsible to strengthen that, try to make it a you know, viable entity that will produce fruit for the kingdom of God.
And that's one thing that Jason's been talking about a good bit lately is the kingdom, and what does that look like here?
Yeah, and I think Zach hit it. You know, what does it look like here? It looks like, you know, turning to God. And how do we do that? We teach and train our children to be dependent on Him and to know that He is there, that you don't sit on the couch and wait for stuff, but you can certainly do all things through Christ who strengthens you, but you almost have to do all things. And not just rely. And so we do teach, we do train, we do the best that we can in preparing our children for tomorrow, and you know, try to watch out for those that are less fortunate, to see those that might need a helping hand or an encouraging word, and be there, you know, be there for them.
Well, the thing of it is, like, we are to train our children, and, you know, you can sit there and think that you're going to wait for the return of Jesus and all that. So I don't really have that philosophy. Like, I know that God put a set of rules down, and that is why the law is written on my heart, because I'm an Israelite. And I know if I don't cross that boundary, then, you know, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. I am not saying that at all. But if I don't cross that boundary, then there's not going to be repercussion for my actions. So, like, when I go out into the world and I work and I labor and this and that, and if I know if I'm within the boundaries of that system that God laid out and that God wrote on my heart, then I know that I can walk around without having any type of guilt. I can know that through the promises that God said in that boundary system, in that law system, that whatever I do, whatever I put my hand to do, it will be blessed. It will be fruitful. It will grow, and it will expand. And when I teach my children that way, basically is what you're doing is you're teaching your kids not to be jerks, not to be self-centered. And these are the rules that our Lord and Savior died for in order to buy us back, in order so that way we can operate in that system, okay? So, like, when you look at the history of the United States and when it was beginning, our forefathers were operating in that system. Now, did they have resistance? Yes, they did. They had to fight Indians. They had to fight the British. They had to do all this stuff for the birth of the New Jerusalem. And they had to do all this stuff, but they were, you know, you look at the Mayflower Compact and what the Puritans did. Their law book was the Bible, and they understood if there was something going wrong, then there was a violation. And so we know if we instill them ethics and we into our children, then they can go on and be fruitful, and everything that they do will be blessed. That is what we are doing. That is the right that Jesus Christ gave us here on earth. So when you look at the history, that was the body of Christ. Actually, if you look at it like through the light and the glory, and like the Puritans, that's what they thought, and that is what that was the body of Christ, the physical body. That was Jesus coming here on earth, giving his people their land. Now, when they abandon those ethics, those rules, then you get removed. Everything gets hauled off. Everything you get the all the illegals. You get all the crazy laws that align with Baal. So the key is, this is what our mission is as a ministry, is to teach that to the world and to our children. And while I'm here, as long as I work within those rules, and I constantly do a self check, I'm like, okay, what are my motives? Do I have sin in my life? Do this and that? Then I can walk freely, guilt free, and go out. And that's like what I, like when I wake up every morning, that's what I think I'm going to do, you know? And I know if there's something in my life, the potency of my actions isn't there. Because I know that, you know, I've offended my God. We as a whole kind of naturally understand that, I believe. So it is our choice whether we are going to be victorious. And, you know, because I'm, you know, there's no such thing as, like, I'm not going to let anything. The only thing that can limit my success is me. There's no lack of success out there. If you do it God's way, there is no limit. And I think that's what we need to understand. And, you know, it's the kingdom mentality. Well, if I work in these rules, then the only limit is myself. You know, there's no lack of money. There's no lack of resources. There's none of that. The only thing that's lacking is my brain, you know.
But, and the place to start with that is in the home, and having that order in the home. And
mm-hmm.
having that, you know, teaching that the order in the home is reflective of the order in the kingdom. And, you know, you're not in charge. You're only in charge of what you're put in charge of, you know, by the boss, whether that be your dad or by God or your mom or, you know, whatever position that you're at. And that's one of the biggest things that we've lost, is that children can now decide if they want to be a cat, that they're a cat, and everybody's got to pretend that they're a cat, or, you know, do whatever they want to do, and nobody has a say in it. Whereas if we were in order, you know, there would be a loving lesson taught there that, no, you know, you don't have the authority to choose that you are a cat. You're not going to lie and us all swear to it here.
Yeah, I can. I can only imagine if I'd at 8 or 10 years old at the dinner table told my dad, "Yeah, Dad, I'm a cat or I'm a dog," and I think he'd have said okay, and he'd have picked me up and threw me out of the house and said, "That's where the dog lives, and there's the dog's bowl, and there's where the dog sleeps. Enjoy," and would have, you know, made me face that reality. And that's what's lacking today. There's no, you know, of course it's because the people are apart from their God, but doesn't the Bible say women and children rule over them? I had, I had some men that have children in the local school talking about that very thing this spring, that, oh, they got furries up there and they got them, cat boxes and litter boxes and stuff. And I asked the guys, who's crazier? The 8-year-old kid that don't know nothing, or the parent and teacher that go along with it? And you're right, Josh. It's insanity to, and it does. It's the result of turning from God, of anything goes, of, you know, our fathers and forefathers and the generation before us and the generation before them, anything goes. And and not teaching and training and not wanting the grandparents in the home to help teach and train, but nope, kick them out. We don't want anything to do with them. And this is what we get, and this is where we are as a society.
Like Tim was saying, you know, that replanting, every day is a new day, and we get an opportunity to do better every single day. And, you know, a big thing to me, and I've had conversations with about that, a lot of folks, animals mind better than their children do. You know, your dog is trained better than your child is. And if that's where you are today, hey, that's where you're at. But today's a new day, so start in the other direction. And look at the fact, if I tell my son to come over here and sit, will he come over here and sit, or will he look at me and say, why? You know, why should I sit? Because I told you to. And because I'm your dad and I know what's best for you. You know, you don't owe him. That information was for you all. If my son asked me why, I'm going to show him why with my belt. And then we're going to continue the conversation. I'll give an explanation. But you shouldn't have to give an explanation whenever you should want to. Because I want my son to realize, okay, well, you know, we're about to move forward in this wagon here with this team hitched up. And if I'm not sitting down, I'm liable to get thrown out of the wagon. You know, I want him to understand that. But right now, we might not have time for that conversation. So if I tell him to sit, I need him to sit. And then later on, we can talk about it. And that's where obedience, the same thing with us and God every day. We should pray that God show us each and every move, every decision, whether to go left or right. I mean, that ought to be something that we desire in our hearts, is to be where God wants us to be and to be doing what God wants us to be doing. And, you know, if you look around yourself and you see that that's not in place, today is a new day. Start working to it. Make small steps and teach and make a shift. Because you don't change the direction of a big ship all of a sudden. You make a gradual turn. And if we all gradually start turning in the correct direction, so will come our nation.
Amen.
I agree. One of the, go ahead, Zach. I just said was what Josh was saying. Like we say, we start making small steps, and then slowly, like, the nation will follow. And I agree with that philosophy and statement. That's all I got to say.
Well, I think one of the things, and I agree wholeheartedly with that 100%. I think a lot of times that what we fail to realize, whether it's our lives and our walks with God or our children's walks with us, is that obedience brings foresight. You know, I mean, you people are like, well, I don't understand how to, I can't see what's coming. I can't figure this out. And God says that, you know, just like the end times, he says, well, you look off the west, you see these storm clouds coming in, and you know there's a storm coming. You may not know exactly when it's coming, but you know it is. You know, I better get the rigs undercover. There's a hailstorm moving, and those look like hail clouds. I mean, that kind of stuff goes on all the time. That's just one example. But the point being that when you're obedient, you know, just like that, you do something, and then children are smart. They're not dumb. And when you, they go, wow, if I hadn't been sitting down in the wagon and we'd have took off, if I hadn't sat right down, I'd be thrown out the back. You know, that was a good move. So when you hear something to be obedient, or, you know, you start looking in a way ahead of that. And eventually you get ahead of even having to be told that. You know, when you see things, it's like, hey, we're going to be them. We're fixing a move. I better sit down. You know, and Dad turns around and says, "Oh, okay, let's go." I mean, and that makes you smile. That makes you, hey, they're on it. You know, they got it. And I think that kind of plays into what everybody's been talking about. You know, whether it's business, or whether it's safety, or whether it's any number of those things. We begin to look ahead. And that requires that requires us to have an idea of what's going on right now. In order to look ahead, we got to know what's going on right now, what we need to do to be a good steward to protect that or to whatever. And it's not that we're always right, but it's certainly not that we're not trying.
And there's not much better than that feeling as a father whenever you see your children doing that, when you see them setting themselves up to succeed and you don't have to tell them, and they're doing it and they're prospering. Boy, I tell you, that's good stuff.
It makes you happy. Yeah, proud of them, you know, in a good way. That's like, yeah.
Well, and you know, the older you get too, the more you realize just how short of a time you have with them too, how they grow up so fast. You know, my youngest too, just this last week, you know, my 7-year-old had a birthday and turned 8, and my 5-year-old birthday had a birthday and turned 6. And it's, you know, I mean, these were my babies. So it's, as time goes on, it's like, it's just, I mean, it goes by so fast. And we've got, you know, we've got so much time. We've got to fit so much education into such a short period of time. And, you know, that's our job, is to be training these replacements, and, you know, trying to give them a better education than what we had and better training than what we had. And, you know, you want to give them the world, but, you want them to be able to get there on their own. And you know, it just goes by, you know, there's so many things that you just can't put off. And, well, I'm going to work on that later, or I'm going to teach them that down the road. It's, you know, you never know when your time's up.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, it's amazing. Never hesitate to take them with you, because even if you're not doing formal, now, son, daughter, don't do this, do that, what they just pick up from just being with you, how you handle situations, how you do things, is it's astounding. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, somebody, well, where'd you learn to do that? You're like, I don't really ever remember not being able to do that, you know, because it was just something that observation is a powerful teaching tool, but they can't observe you if they're not around you. So, you know, that's one of those things.
Well, also, and one step further, just because you're around them, you know, if you're got your head in your phone and not paying any attention to them, you're probably not doing them a whole lot of good because you're present in the room with them.
True.
You know,
very true.
You got to be with them, not just around them.
That's right. It comes back to quality and not quantity, but quality. Quality time, quality instruction, quality teaching.
Yeah, last weekend I had the neighbor boy over here, my oldest son, and I had a couple of loaders here, and we were cleaning up the property. And my son walked up to me. He's like, "Dad, I threw a track on the 160. So I was like, "All right, man." So like, I go out there and I start grabbing all the stuff to put the track back on. And like, literally, as I was actually going up to start fixing the problem, like, I just thought, "Well, you're not doing this right." So I, you know, I was thinking this to myself. So I told my son, I'm like, "Go get a block of wood about 6 inches. And I walked him through the process of how to loosen the track, throw it back on whenever he's out there, you know. And I made him actually do the process himself, hands-on. And I walked him through the process to do it quickly, efficiently. You know, all the things that I had to learn the hard way and do all the stuff and all the little shortcuts to throw a track back on a loader. And you know, I made him walk through that process and, you know, like, mark, you know, where the tensioner is when you back it up, all that stuff. And pretty soon he's back going, and he's out there. About 2 hours later, his buddy, I look over, his buddy, my son's got his loader jacked up, and he's putting the track back on by himself, and he didn't have to come and ask me. And he's over there showing his buddy how to do it, because the loader that he was running he threw a track. It's like he had a, there's a bunch of stumps and stuff out there, and you can throw them easy. But, you know, it's just those little things, even though that that example is, you know, pretty basic and, you know, it's, you know, it might not mean a whole lot to anybody, but the way I'd do it before, I would just fix it. I would just fix it. I would
because that's
be
faster. That's faster and easier.
Because,
so
exactly,
you do it
because it's faster. Because I was not doing him any favors, and I was literally handicapping him. And you know what? Now I never have to deal with that problem because, and if he's involved, I know he can handle it. And you know, so it's just little things like that. You got to take them little things into perspective, and you know, if they
and
have
invest
the ability
in
to
them.
Do it, you need to instruct them. You know,
that's right. And it was time. It was the right time, you know, to do that. The time and the opportunity. Guys, let's see if we can get a phone call in here. Good morning. Welcome. Nope, guess not. Anyway. But, yeah, it was. The timing. I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, it, like...
Major confidence builder point.
That's right. And like you mentioned,
right.
Tim,
yeah.
You know, every day you might have to replan something. Every day is something new, and it's like, you know, if you know, we have a new day and the opportunity presents itself, well, then by all means, take advantage of it. It's like those tests that God gives us, and sometimes we pass them, and sometimes we get to take the test again. And Zach, it sure sounds like you passed that one with flying colors and passed it on to your son.
One of them.
Yeah.
Finally.
Well, you know, and I know, you know, it was a year ago, right? A year ago, we were working together out in Tennessee, cleaning stuff up, and your son was there working that, you know, what, $100,000 piece of machinery, working. And what was he, 13, 14? It's a success. Is it over? Is it done? No. No, but it's certainly working in the right direction. You know, continuing to build that foundation and build upon it. And it's good. That is encouraging. It really is.
Well, none of us ever stop learning. I mean, that's another thing. I mean, if you do, well, you're pretty much stagnant, you know. I mean, we should constantly be teaching ourselves or allowing ourselves to be taught new things. I mean, I don't... sometimes I tackle things and I'm like, what was I thinking? But it's a learning experience, you know.
And the first, I guess, biggest part of that, and I feel like I and Zach harp on it a good bit, is just the way we should be thinking, you know, the way we should see things, because that's the first part of it, is how do you see what's going on around you? You know, the headline of the 94-year-old guy's getting kicked out of his house, and, you know, like I said, the initial thing is to get angry about it, but when you boil it down and then even look at the end result that he's living with his daughter now instead of in this home, and the fact that, you know, he was on government assistance of some type and not in God's system and all, the way that we look at everything is the first part of what our result's going to be. You know, where are you going to end up? Well, it depends on where I'm seeing where I'm at. So just... We would do well to measure everything by the word to start out with, and figure out what's right. Okay, well, if this is what's going on, how does that compare to what is correct? And then you can make a plan of how to get it to where it's correct. But if you can't figure out where you're at and where you need to be, if you're moving, you might be moving in the opposite direction. You don't know.
Well said.
Yes, well said.
Yeah.
did need to report a bit of bad news. Well, maybe it's good news. Maybe it'll work out. Remington has had, they have been manufacturing firearms in Ilion, I-L-I-O-N, Ilion, New York, since 1828. They've been making firearms, Remington has, and other things, but mainly their pistols and whatnot, and they are closing down in March, citing just taxes and government overreach and everything you can imagine. Another American icon that, and I know that ownership has changed and all that quite a bit. Saw they're still going to be making their shotguns, I think, in, down south somewhere. Where is that, Tennessee or one of the Carolinas? But their New York, I think that's one of their last New York plants, Remington, closing down. Almost made it.
Well, it's in New York.
And it's so in New York.
Almost be like one step from California.
Right.
So.
Right. And so, you know,
yeah,
Remington. Yeah, when you first see it, you think, oh, no, that's terrible. But, well, you know, Remington and different Winchester and places have moved to more friendlier states and communities and have prospered there. And so it can be a good thing.
Thinking about, man, there's more room for me to open up a manufacturing facility. I might start making rifles. You know? I mean, it's just...
Yeah. Yeah. So
I've heard that. So let me get this. Remington's, they're not going out of business. They're just leaving New York. Is that correct?
In 2014, they built a big plant down in Huntsville, Alabama.
Right.
And that's where they're transitioning. But it was the longest operating gun manufacturing plant in America. I think there was, 289 to 300 people that were employed there at this New York factory. So they're moving to Huntsville, Alabama. They still got all their stuff out there around Kansas City for doing the powder manufacturing and stuff like that. But, that's kind of what the deal is.
Well, I feel bad for those employees, but I don't feel bad for New York, and I'm glad that they're losing revenue for it because of it. So that place can, that state can, I don't know what to say about it. I don't like it. I've been there before.
Take a short walk.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, again, it's what goes around comes around.
That happening. Yeah, you hear that happen. People leaving the state just because, like, of everything that's been imposed on small businesses and this and that. I mean, talk about a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the guts. I mean, you're making it impossible for anybody. Like, you're making it so difficult for people to live the American dream and start their own business. Like, you are, like, excluding yourself from everything. So, you know what? I hope you, New York and California, I hope you guys go broke as far as the state goes. And, that's just how I feel. I mean, you guys are crap. Trash.
Amen. I think we are all in agreement on that. And, guys, with that, we're out of time. Thank you all so much for taking time out of your busy Saturday morning, man, to come on the radio and to encourage the remnant that are out there. And remnant, we thank you for tuning in, and we invite you to join us for church tomorrow, Sunday morning, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast at scripturesforamerica.org, and hope to see you there. God bless.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling, rolling, keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, Snake High. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, they high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.